We're reading from Exodus 4, verses 1 to 9, on page 60 of your Bibles. Moses answered the Lord, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, 'The Lord did not appear to you?'" Then the Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" "A staff," he replied. The Lord said, "Throw it on the ground." Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, "Reach out your hand and take it by the tail." So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. "This," said the Lord, "is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you." Then the Lord said, "Put your hand inside your cloak." So Moses put his hand into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was leprous like snow. "Now put it back into your cloak," he said. So Moses put his hand back into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. Then the Lord said, "If they do not believe you or pay attention to the first miraculous sign, they may believe the second. But if they do not believe these two signs or listen to you, take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground. The water you take from the river will become blood on the ground." This is the word of the Lord.
Oh, well, good morning. If we didn't meet last week, my name's Monique, and it'd be lovely to say hello at the end of the service. Let's pray before we begin. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We pray that you would open our hearts to hear you speak to us this morning. Amen. And so we're continuing in our sermon series on Exodus, looking at the faithfulness of God to Moses and to his people. And we're also looking at what we can learn from Moses' journey with God. And today I'd like to talk about how God calls each of us as Christians, as he did Moses, and that he sends us out in his power that dispels our doubts, builds our faith, and increases our confidence. As Carl said last week in our service, the book of Exodus is a story of God, and in God's generosity, we are invited into partnership with him and what he's doing in the world. And we see in this dialogue between Moses and God that Mary's just read for us, that Moses is full of doubts, both in God, but also in himself. In verse 1, he says, "But what if they don't believe me or listen to me? Or what even if they say, 'The Lord didn't appear to you'?" And as you flip through the first few chapters of Exodus, you see that Moses has every credibility going for him. In chapter 2, it says he's a Levite, which means he's of the priestly class. He's been set apart for the works of God. He's then adopted by Pharaoh's daughter, and so he grows up in a palace, probably surrounded by lots of confidence and power. But we still see in multiple episodes that he's scared and that he feels inadequate for the call that God places on his life. But in the first few chapters, we also learn that he carries complex emotions. He carries a great deal of shame from the murder that he committed, also in chapter 2. And he carries a complexity of differing identities. He's Hebrew, but he grew up in an Egyptian household. He married a foreign wife, which is really not the done thing among Jewish people of that day. And so we're aware he carries both opportunities and challenges. But we know that at the burning bush, he had an undeniable encounter with God's presence. So he knows who God is, and he has God's presence with him. And then we see now in our passage that to aid him in the task God asks of him, he also offers to send him with 3 miraculous signs. Moses continues to protest God's calling and task, though. He doubts God's faithfulness to follow through on the promises he's made to be with Moses and to open the way for God's people. And mostly he doubts himself. And I was thinking about this. I was trying to get into the shoes of how Moses might have felt being asked to go to Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the land, to ask him quite a massive request to release a whole people group. And I was reminded of a story that Amy Orr Ewing tells. She's an Oxford theologian. She's one of the reasons I'm still a Christian today. Very gifted theologian she is. And she talks about a time when she was a university student about 30 years ago. And she and a group of friends were studying Islam, and they really wanted to go and meet some leaders of the Taliban in Afghanistan. And so they organized a trip to go and to pray in the land. And the night before her flight, she had a dream. And in the dream, she saw herself giving a Bible to one of the leaders of the Taliban. And she knew that this dream was from God. And in obedience that night, she packed her luggage full of Bibles. And the next day, they crossed over into the border, and they were able to get a meeting with three of the key leaders in the Taliban. And I can't possibly imagine how she felt in that moment. But in faithfulness to the word that her and her friends had received from God, they went in and had this meeting and began a conversation of faith. And at the right moment, they said to these three ministers they were meeting, "We've brought you a gift, and we believe it's the most precious gift any human could give to another human, and it's a Bible." And the minister of religion, the one who keeps the Holy Quran, said, "I have been praying to Allah for years that someone would bring me a Bible. Thank you for bringing me a Bible. I'm going to read it every day until I've finished it." Amy couldn't have known that God would do that through her. She was likely utterly terrified of the task that God had given her. But she did it anyway. She likely did it scared. I think it's very unlikely any of us here will be called before the Taliban or a pharaoh, but I'm willing to stand corrected if that happens. But there's much we can learn from the courage that both Moses and Amy took in whatever it is that God asks of us. And the thing that I think sticks out to me in this passage is that God is really kind here to Moses. Amidst his fears and doubts, God is willing to offer more examples of his supernatural power to give courage to him. And that's beautiful because it shows that God accepts our weakness. He accepts our lack of faith. He accepts our unimaginative, in-the-box thinking. And he meets us with his power that cannot be denied, his power that bolsters and encourages us. And Psalm 78, as Carl read a bit at the beginning, is a fantastic psalm. It goes through the whole story of Exodus. It talks about God's power and might and how we need to preach the mighty deeds of God to the coming generations. But it also goes on to speak about God's exasperation and disappointment at the unfaithfulness of his people. Though we heard in verse 39 that God says he has compassion on his unfaithful people because he remembers that they are just flesh. He knows and accepts Moses' weakness and ours, and he offers him three miraculous signs to back him up. And so these three signs are very rich in symbolism. The staff in Moses' hand is a symbol that pops up throughout Exodus. We'll keep seeing that. And it's just an ordinary shepherd's staff. It's the staff that Moses was using to tend his sheep before he came to the burning bush. And I think that's precisely the point. The staff itself has no power of its own. God, in his might, chooses to use an ordinary object to show his own power. And God's teaching Moses through this sign that depending on God, as a shepherd depends on his staff, is what will bring God's blessing. But if he's to cast God's grace to the ground, he's helpless before the snake. When the staff turns into a snake, Moses is afraid and he runs away. And we know that the snake is another symbol used throughout the Bible for the enemy of God. And then we have this cloak and the leprous hand. Leprosy, again, a common symbol of sin, being something that's contagious, something that carries a lot of shame, that is very hard to cure. And God shows his power in that it's easy for him to heal it. Moses puts his hand inside the cloak, it's there. He puts it back in and it's gone. It's showing that God will find it easy to heal his people and to deliver his people too. And the third and final sign is the Nile water turning into blood. And the Nile was utterly essential to Egypt's life. It was the source of all of the agricultural fertility in the land. And God shows that he has the power too to turn that blessing into a curse. Instead of life, the river could bring death. And this foreshadows the plague that will come where that does happen. And this very severe sign was only for if the first two signs weren't heeded. It shows the solemn consequences of not listening to the God who's shown his power plainly. And in all three of these signs, God is saying, "I am the one who holds power. You can trust me completely, and I will not let you down. I will bring cleansing and healing, and I'm the one who has the power over bringing life." And so what do we take from this dialogue between Moses and God for us as Christians today? I think there's four truths that come out of this. One, we all have a calling or a task or a place that God sends us into as his disciples on mission. Two, God promises to send us in his power with his Holy Spirit and a whole armory of scriptural promises that he promises to fulfill, and the promise that we have the final victory in Christ. Thirdly, we may doubt that or ourselves, or we might lack faith, but the good news is that God knows that. He understands and he is so compassionate, but he does remain resolute in his call to us. And fourthly, in his kindness, he will show us his power if we ask and if we trust him. And he might just show it through whatever is in our hands. And recently, God's grown me a lot in courage in the face of his faithfulness. And I think of a couple of instances. You know, when I was about to go off to train in Oxford, I was really nervous about leaving London. I was very settled there. I had a great community. I loved my street. I had a great church. I was really happy in my job. But I knew that God had asked me to move. I was very comfortable there. And he had promised me that he ultimately was my home and that he would provide for me a new home and a new community to be part of. But believing those things in your head is entirely different from believing them in your heart. And so I was still very scared when I went. But 1 year in, I could look back and I could say, God has made true on every single promise he made to me. He gave me back all and more that I had left behind. And so this time around, moving from Oxford to here, I'm able to say, I can trust God makes true on every promise. I've seen it before and I can therefore trust it for the future. And we grow in faith through life in seeing God's power and faithfulness at work. I'm sure there's many stories in this room of that. And our fears lessen because of that. I don't think our fears ever go completely, but we do begin to be able to weigh up the fear and the history of God's faithfulness in our lives. And again, the same process happened again last week when I was preparing for ordination. I was full of fears about the future and a deep sense of my own inadequacy. But before the ordination, you go away for a 3-day retreat. And as I spent time in the silence with God, a quiet confidence from his Holy Spirit started to fill me as I prayed. And I began to know in my heart, not just in my head, that it's not something that I, Monique, am doing, but it's God's work in me and through me. And I can trust that he who promises is faithful. And so I wonder what the thing is that's currently scaring you, what you might be facing that causes the worries to rise or the doubts to surface. It might be needing to trust God with a life change or situation. It might be illness or worries over money. It might be a nudge from the Lord to step out in faith in some way, sharing what you believe with a friend or a colleague or a neighbor. Or it might be a sense of your own inadequacy that you need to give to God and let him speak his truth and his power over you. Do not discount yourself for the service of God. It is God who works through you and he is so faithful. Is there a God idea or a dream in your hands that you need to share with someone today to see how you could make that a reality? We never know, as Amy did, what could happen when we give those things to God and they're infused with his power. And so God calls each of us here today as Christians, as he did Moses, and he sends us with his power that dispels our doubts, builds our faith, and increases our confidence. God, in his kindness, will show us his power if we ask and if we trust him, and he might just show us through whatever is in our hands. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Monique. So let's just take a moment of stillness, just inviting the Holy Spirit to work amongst us, to stir those things in our hearts and minds that he may want to stir this morning, to reveal those things that he may want to reveal, to bring to the surface those things that maybe have been buried through fear.
Thank you.
that God may reveal to us those things, those situations, those people to whom he may be calling us. And maybe there are things that you know he's called you to do, but you are fearful of those things, and the call this morning is to do it scared, but to do it anyway. Trusting in his faithfulness, in his goodness, in his power made perfect in our weakness. His power made perfect in our weakness. That his power does not depend on your strength, but on your surrender to him, with what's in your hand.